Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says there, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now in the book of Galatians in chapter number 6, let's begin reading with verse number 7 once again. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I want to take as my text those words. In fact, I want this as a text and a title. The words there in verse number 7, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. If we look at the immediate context of these verses, we might notice that there the Bible speaks about bearing one another's burdens. It speaks about giving. It speaks about doing good to men. Verse number 6 states this, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things," which is interesting in light of the fact that the book was written to churches that had gone astray, accepting another gospel. They turned away from Christ and accepted another gospel, which is not another, because there is no other true gospel. And so we might think about these people had turned aside, and perhaps it was at this time they were actually supporting someone that was teaching them contrary to the way of Christ, teaching them contrary to the gospel, in fact, preaching another gospel. It might have been that there was someone there in the midst that was teaching them to go away from the liberty that we have in Christ and to turn unto the bondage which was in Judaism. Now, in verse number 7, the Bible says, and once again, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." The last part, "For whoso or whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I want you to consider in verse number 7 that what we sow is important. The word "whatsoever" is used. What we sow is important. In verse number 8, where we sow is important. Then verse number 9, let us consider, when shall we reap? And of course, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. Now, this is especially a passage for those that are saved. For those that are saved, and we are trying to, and by the grace of God, we are going about and doing good, fulfilling the will of God in our lives. Then, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, in due season, God is the one that sets the seasons. The Lord, of course, set the seasons. God has given us the fall and the winter and the spring and the summer. It is God that has set seed time and harvest. God is the one that has set the seasons as far as this earth is concerned. And God is the one that sets the seasons for reaping what we have sown. Now, the sowing and reaping principle is written in the Constitution of the universe. God has given His immutable Word. And certainly, God cannot lie. Anytime that a person does not reap what he has sown, it is not because God is incapable of fulfilling His Word. It is not because of God being incompetent to fulfill His Word. It might be simply, in fact, it would be that God is simply in mercy, withheld what the man could have and would have reaped. I thank the Lord that even though I have sown much to the flesh, I thank the Lord that Jesus Christ has reaped my punishment for me as far as my everlasting punishment is concerned. And therefore, I shall not reap many of the things which I have sown. Now, certainly they have been reaped by Christ. Christ has paid a price for me. Amen. But it holds true. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then thank the Lord for every time that God shows mercy, and God, at least temporarily, sometimes God temporarily delays the reaping. And then thank the Lord that for me, as far as my everlasting record is concerned, as far as forever is concerned, that God has forever extended mercy to me, so I do not have to reap for all my sins in hell. Now, the wicked might sometimes act like that God is incapable of causing a man to reap that which he has sown. The wicked may sometimes say things like this: God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. And that's from Psalm 10 and verse number 11. Sometimes the wicked might say something like this: thou wilt not require it. From Psalm 10 and verse number 13. But the fact is, God is not mocked. There shall never be a time that a sinner shall be able to say truthfully and rightfully that God failed in fulfilling this principle that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There shall never be a time where a man would have grounds to actually and truthfully mock God, saying that God promised this, God said he would do it, and God has not fulfilled his promise. The fact is that God is not mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This keeping of this principle is such a characteristic of God that there's a fitting title for him. In Jeremiah chapter number 51 and verse 56, the Lord told about the judgment that was coming to Babylon. The Bible says in Jeremiah 51 verse 56, because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of them vows, or every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. Notice that title. The Lord God of recompenses. Our God is the God of requital. Our God is the God of reprisal, of retribution. Our God is the God of remuneration. There shall be a payday someday. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, sometimes a person may say, well, I'll do what God has said. I'll take revenge. If somebody's done me wrong, I'll do them wrong in return. But the Bible says in the book of Romans in chapter number 12 and beginning of verse number 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now the Lord is the one that is the God of recompenses, the God of revenge, the God of reprisal. And we are not to be going around taking revenge because we have been harmed personally, but instead we are to leave it in the hands of God to in due time, in due season, cause a person to reap that which he has sown. In our day, sometimes you may hear the word karma. A person, for instance, might have done something against another, and then something bad happened to that person, and someone might say, well, that was karma. The word karma is a word that comes from Buddhism and Judaism Hinduism. And it's not a good word for us to be using as believers. In fact, it may also be tied back to this idea of the life before, as though somebody had done wrong in the life before, and therefore they're suffering in this life because of what happened in the life before. Of course, I don't believe that way, and the Bible doesn't teach that way. And so I think it's good for us just to avoid using the term karma. Instead, I believe it's good if we promote the idea that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you will, please turn to the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, and of course I've taught about this going through the book of Psalms. If you don't have these marked in your Bible, it might do you well to mark them. But in Psalm 7, and beginning with verse number 15, the Bible says, he made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. It's the idea of upon the top of his head. And so you might think about a person that digs a pit and falls into the pit which he has dug. In Psalm 9, and beginning with verse 15, once again, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. And notice these words. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The Bible says the Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. God is so much, he so much keeps this promise that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, that we can give him the title of the Lord God of recompenses. Then also the Lord keeps his promise about the sowing and reaping. He upholds the principle of sowing and reaping in such a way that he has a reputation. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. This is not simply a happenstance, so to speak, that so often in life, when a person does wrong, a similar wrong comes upon them. The God that created the heavens and the earth has put it in the constitution of the universe. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in his upholding of that principle, he has gained a reputation. And the fact is that the Lord is known by the judgment that he executeth. He brings it to pass in due time, in due season. That which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. The beginning of the verse states this, be not deceived. Would there be any that would deceive us about the matter of the principle of sowing and reaping? Well, yes. The world would deceive us. The world would say you can do what you want to and there'll be no repercussions, there'll be no consequences for it. Then also I believe the devil would like us to believe that you can sow the flesh and you can live wickedly and there'll be no consequences for it. And then I believe that even our own deceitful hearts would sometimes convince us you can go on in your way, you can live the way you want to, and there's no price to be paid. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe there would be many that would deceive us on the matter. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. I think about a person covering his sins. And oftentimes a man may try to cover his sins. But instead of thinking of hiding your sins, instead of thinking of it as hiding your sins, think of it as planting your sins. Think of it as sowing. There's an old story along the line that there were some boys that were planting cotton. And I think it went that they wanted to go fishing or swimming or something. And so they were planting, and finally they came to a point at the end of the row, somebody buried the bag of cotton seeds. They didn't want to have to finish out the bag, so they went ahead and buried the bag of cotton seeds at the end of the row. Now what do you think happened? You can imagine right there at the end of the row there being a whole lot of cotton stalks. Be sure your sin shall find you out. Be not deceived. When you cover your sin, you think you're hiding your sin, you might just say, I've just planted it, and there'll be a harvest down the road. On the other hand, think about when God tells you to hide something. For instance, when you pray, Matthew chapter number 6, go into the closet, shut the door, talk to God in secret, and the Father which is in heaven shall reward thee openly. You might think about the giving of alms, the giving to the poor, and so in such a way that, so to speak, you don't even let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Yet do it in secret, and the God that is in heaven will reward you openly. In that sense, you're planting as well. And there shall be a harvest to come. I want you to consider this. First of all, verse number 7, what you sow is important. Sow what you want to reap. What you sow is important. We might consider the farmer, just as a general rule, we might think of farmers and the practices that they hold to and things that happen when farmers farm, just follow the normal ways of farming. First of all, the farmers reap the same things that they sowed. When the farmer plants watermelons, what does he get? When the farmer plants corn, what does he get? When the farmer plants turnips, what does he get? That's just the way it is. God has designed it so that the farmer, he reaps what he has sown. Therefore, sow what you want to reap. If you don't want to reap it, don't sow it. Now we might think about the fact that God is able to make the fruit of retribution or the reward very fitting for that which is sown. In preaching from the passages in Psalm that I dealt with, that I've read through, I preached in the past on reciprocal retribution and reciprocal reward. Like a boomerang. What comes around goes around. You might think about a person throwing that boomerang out and come back hitting them upside the head. And so you might think about a person, he's sowing and reaping. He's reaping what he has sown. That's the way God has designed it. And our God is able to fashion our retribution or our reward, as it's His will to do it. God is able to fashion those things in such a way that's very fitting for the actions that we have committed. We might look with the eye of faith way back to the time of Esther. Do you see some ridiculously high gallows? It seems they were 75 feet high or so. Why would anybody make gallows 75 feet high? But do you see upon those gallows a body hanging, the body of Haman? Who built those gallows? Haman built those gallows. And he hung upon the gallows that he built. We might look way back to the time of Jacob and remember Jacob He loved Rachel so much, and he served for 7 years. And it seemed like that time went by quickly as he was serving for Rachel. And then finally came the time, the morning after the wedding, when he realized that he got Leah instead of Rachel. The Bible doesn't give us much description of his emotions, but I imagine that there was rage and confusion. I imagine that he went through so many emotions here. He got the wrong woman. The deceiver had been deceived. And the trickster had been tricked. What do you want to sow, or what do you want to reap in life? How are you living? And so often people are sowing things that they really don't want to reap down the road. But God is certainly able to fashion the harvest to fit the seed that was sown. God is certainly able to bring it to pass that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then the farmers reap more than they have sown. Sometimes a farmer may reap 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. If the farmer reaped the same thing that he sowed, why farm? If a man planted a seed and got a seed, then why farm? Why not just keep the seed? But if a man plants a seed and gets 30 in return, or 60 or 100 or more in return, that can make it worthwhile. And so we might think about the farmer sowing that seed, getting much more in return. And you may sow a little action and think it's small and think it insignificant, but you may find that the harvest is much greater than you ever wanted to receive. God is able to fashion that harvest so that you get much more in return than you put in the ground, so to speak. And then, where we sow is important. Verse number 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You might say, well, I've got a lot of good seed. And you may have a lot of Bible knowledge. And you may have a lot of good training. And you may be going about a lot of things that would be considered good works. But if you are sowing to the flesh, it's a waste of good seed. Where you sow makes a difference. It is not just what you sow. And sometimes people may be doing things that seem so good, and they may say, well, certainly this ought to get me something. If you're sowing to the flesh, it is a waste of good seed. Many a person has sown and sown and sown and sown, and they may have thought to themselves, certainly I'll get some good harvest from this, and what they got was corruption. And so, where you sow makes a difference. What you sow makes a difference. Certainly you're to be doing good works in accordance with the will and word of God. You are to be doing good works. And certainly you're to be doing good works in the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. A person may be giving a large amount of money and yet get nothing in the end because he has sown in the wrong place, or he has sown the wrong seed. So it is important that we sow where we ought to sow and sow what we ought to sow. Then, when shall we reap? For those that are saved and serving God, in due season, if we faint not, we shall reap. Be honest with you, this can make God hard to understand. If immediately, when we sowed the seed, we got the harvest, then we might say, well, I see how this is working. I put this in the ground, immediately I get it. But that's not the way God works. In fact, you might think about the farmer, and the farmer always, always reaps later than he sows. And it might be weeks, it might be months. In fact, sometimes it might be a person plants a seed of a fruit tree or a nut tree, and perhaps years later he finally begins to reap from that which he has sown. And since God, in His due time, causes a person to reap what he has sown, sometimes it can make God hard to understand. If you will, go to the book of Luke in chapter number 16. In Luke chapter number 16, the Bible tells us about the rich man that died and was in hell, and then it also tells us about the beggar, Lazarus, that died. In Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 25, the Bible says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Now this may help you a little bit to understand the fact that in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. God has got forever to give good men their good rewards. And God has got forever to give retribution to evil men. Lazarus is still in paradise, and the rich man is still in hell. If we just simply looked at Lazarus and the rich man on earth, we might think, this doesn't seem to make sense. And I don't know all about Lazarus, but if we looked at Lazarus, we might think, well, Lazarus seems to be a good person, and it doesn't seem like he's getting anything good. Here he's got these sores on his body, and he's a beggar, he suffers. On the other hand, there's this rich man, and this man seems to be doing well. It ain't over. God has got forever to do good things for good people. When I say good people, people that are saved by the grace of God and serving in accordance with the Word of God, God has got forever to reward them. But the man that dies without Christ, he shall pay and pay and pay forever. It is true, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You might recall the Scripture tells us, Psalm 73, Asaph, his feet had well nigh slipped. I think he was really having a hard time with this idea of the prosperity of the wicked. Why were the wicked prospering so much? But then he went to the sanctuary, and he saw their end. Don't get all discouraged and don't become doubtful about God fulfilling His promise that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just by looking around you and seeing things around you, look to the end. Amen. Look all the way to the end. What do you see? I see good men blessed and rewarded and happy and in peace forever. And I see wicked men suffering forever. God is not mocked. No man will ever have good reason to mock God and say, oh, you failed there. No, God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.